Hello and welcome back to Be Fair, a podcast hosted by Aaron Jordan Peterson. That's me. And this episode is part 3 of our Buffy the Vampire Slayer conversation series with, of course, guest or co-host Lisa Forstall and our guest host Stephen Rice. And without further ado, here is part 3, going right into it.
Oh no, she's the generic Buffy and blah blah blah.
Do I think they both played different versions of Buffy? Yes.
Do I think one was better? Yes.
Do I like them both as Buffy? Yes. For the purpose of their stories.
Yeah. Definitely for the purpose of the stories.
Yeah. But if I have to choose, I mean, it's Sarah Michelle Gellar all the way.
Oh yeah.
Oh well.
Yeah. I've
read in different forums and groups that I've been in that, you know, some people are just, you know, well, they should have kept, what's her face?
Christy Swanson.
Yeah. You were almost there.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, you know, fact, she should be able to like be carried over into the show, but that would have.
Little known fact that Christy Swanson did not have much of a career, but she had a little few things. But one of her other claims to fame is she was in Big Daddy. She played Adam Sandler's character's ex, the one that ends up going with the old man, and like
the 5-year guy, 5-year plan girlfriend.
Yeah. Yeah,
what's his 5-year plan? Don't die. Sorry.
Yeah, that was Christy.
That's
Swanson.
One of my favorites.
Just a little factoid there for you. I think the Buffy movie could have been a lot better, but I'm only looking at it from a perspective of after seeing the TV show.
Yeah.
You know, if I saw the movie, I had an opportunity to see the movie. I remember before the TV show was even in existence with a friend of mine from school, but I was like, I was still too scared of things. Like I had to have been maybe like 10 or 11. Like when I had the opportunity to see Buffy the Vampire Slayer, because it came out in 1993, so it was pretty new. Shut up.
Oh my god, when you were 10, you didn't want to see Buffy. When I was 10, I watched The Exorcist. We are not the same person.
Do you hear that the Christy Swanson movie came out the same year that Steven was born?
He was born. I know.
So
I know.
I mean,
I just ignore you when you
did
talk
not
about
have
you.
A chance to see it when it came out.
You might have been, maybe your mom's. Saw it in theaters, and so you depends, were technically there.
Yeah, or depends what month it came out. I could have been a couple months old.
I was still too afraid of scary movies. If it wasn't for the Buffy TV show, though, I probably would have never appreciated movies like Scream, or I Know What You Did Last Summer. I love those movies.
Scream's the best.
Oh my gosh.
I've done several episodes on Scream because it's
I think I've listened
because
to
there's another one coming out.
It's your and your husband's favorite show. There is a new movie he knows.
I am so excited.
January 14th, 2022.
Yeah. He might know.
Not that anyone's counting.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
Oh, I'm super excited.
Oh, I'm excited.
Which Sarah Michelle Gellar is in Scream 2.
Yes, she's in Scream 2.
Yes.
Funny thing about that is, of course, I loved all the Scream movies. I remember we'll just on this side note here, since Sarah Michelle Gellar is relevant. But I just want to say that when Scream 4 came out, I was very nervous. That was about 10 years ago now.
It was.
Yeah.
I was a senior in high school.
I was not. I was.
Yeah. It was one of my first rated R movies that I got to go see.
I was your age when it came out. But I remember seeing it and I was kind of like, okay, I'm excited. All I remember caring about, who's the killer? Yeah. I gotta know who is so
cool. I knew.
Why is another person doing this after three other games? What's happening here? What's going on? Oh, it was so well done.
It was good.
So well done.
And Alison Brie, I didn't realize that was her until she became bigger. And I was like, oh, Alison Brie is this.
Yeah. I mean, and of course, Emma Roberts. Anyway, back to Buffy. Yeah. We probably should stay on that topic. But yeah. Buffy did lead me into those being able to go and appreciate scary movies in general.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Strong women.
Oh, yeah. Back. She's a scream queen through and through.
Yep.
Oh, definitely.
Well, they all came out around the same time, too. Like, they were all coming out in that same time of the 90s.
Final Destination.
I know this nation is not the same. it's good, but it's not the same in the same Scream Queen quality.
Yeah, because she was in Buffy, and then she was in Scream 2.
I Know What You Did Last Summer.
I Know What You Did Last Summer.
That's how Freddie Prinze.
Man. Yeah. Oh, and they're so adorable.
They are.
Still. Oh God, I follow them on all social media.
And Freddie Prinze Jr. could still get it.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
So good.
Yeah. So. Okay, Buffy. I'm surprised they never got him on the TV show.
Like, I know, I would, yeah, but I feel like they're that type of couple. Well, then again, no, because they did
Scooby-Doo
together.
Both those movies.
Well, and I mean, other than that, what'd you say, Aaron?
I didn't say anything, I'm listening to you.
Oh, well, that's different.
I know.
I was gonna say, I was reading in an interview too, like, not that this has anything to do with working with her husband, but she didn't really socialize with her cast members.
Really?
In a lot of her stuff. Like, she would, you know, work, but then she would be in her trailer a lot. Not in a like a
bitchy way.
Not in a bitchy way, but just in a
I've read like a lot of child actors. They go one of the two ways, like when they're on drugs, or they're like very professional from an age. Yeah. Like, and she was young, so she was like, "This is my job." She took it serious.
Yeah,
so it didn't end up.
But yeah, she was close with the cast members of Buffy, but in a different way more than like the rest were. You could tell by watching this anniversary thing, like Michelle Trachtenberg was like talking about a memory that everyone shared, but Sarah seemed to be kind of like,
what are you talking about?
Yeah. It was like, oh,
sad. And it's kind of hard for her not to grow closer with them because they were together for so long. Whereas I'm going to shoot this movie with this.
Yeah. Shooting months. A TV show is probably different because they're sitting on set and bonding. I mean,
They gotta have that. And they grew up together. Yeah. Like,
yeah. I mean, she was 18. But, like, Sarah Michelle Gellar was actually the youngest cast member of Buffy.
If she was cast originally, did they have a different Buffy cast? If she was originally?
They didn't. I don't remember ever reading. They just, she had come in for Cordelia. They pretty much offered her Cordelia, but they still hadn't found a Buffy. So they had her come back in to just read some things just out of curiosity, because Buffy was still supposed to have that Cordelia-esque history.
Yeah.
So they kind of just took it from the fact that she was able to be the mean girl that changed.
Yeah.
And so Sarah brought that.
Yeah. Well, and they touch on that. Like, you know, when she goes, like when they do the flashbacks when Angel's watching her at her old school.
They show her as the
ditzy blonde. And she's just sitting there eating a lollipop and twirling her hair. And Valley girl. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Very Valley girl.
And I thought that's why Becoming Part 1 and 2 is probably some of my favorite episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I consider it one episode, even though it's a 2-hour episode.
Yeah, totally.
Well, but
So
it's basically a movie.
Yeah, when it's a 2-hour episode.
Yeah, a lot of season finales are basically movies.
Yeah.
I mean. Well, it's just like the season 6 opening is Bargaining Part 1 and 2. So it's like, they know it. So, I'm on season 6 right now on my rewatch, but I feel like I need to choke it up and go back to season 1 and just go all the way through. Just go through.
It's hard.
There's just episodes in season 2 that I don't really like all that much, and that's the one with the eggs.
Oh, yeah.
It's just the bad worst. Huh? Yeah, Bad Eggs.
It's called Bad Eggs, isn't it?
I think so.
I don't like that.
It's funny, but it's stupid.
Yeah, there's a couple of, like, I didn't like the hyena one.
A lot of people like that. I on commentary on the Facebook page for my show, like, so many people were saying liked the hyena one. Like,
I did not.
I wasn't a fan either.
I wasn't really either.
See, because the people that
my listeners are going. They're gone now.
Sorry.
See, I do have a dog. My sidekick. No, it was just really not Xander.
Yeah,
and then the zookeeper or whatever the heck, whoever
it was, so it was. Yeah,
I mean, there's cheesy acting, and then there's that episode.
But also remember, those episodes were filmed in 1996, where stories were only allowed certain much by a, like, they had so much of a budget for that season.
Yeah,
they really had
they didn't have the coin yet.
Poor Principal Flutie. Like, I liked Principal Flutie.
Principal Flutie. And then we got Snyder.
He was so nice. And then they ate him.
Yeah, and then we got Snyder. Who, who ironically
who was Quark from Star Trek.
Yes, he was. But ironically, he got eaten as well by his boss, the mayor.
Yes, yes.
A lot of eating in this show, too.
Bad track records. I mean, bad track records for the principals.
Yeah. Let's see. So, yeah.
Can we talk about Harmony becoming a vampire for a minute?
Sure. Let's do it.
I love it. Harmony, I love her and Spike.
Yes.
I love her relationship with Spike. I think it's hilarious.
It was so hilarious.
She's so annoying.
She is.
She never changes. She's just that character that it doesn't matter. She's like that person in high school. Like, it doesn't matter if it's your senior year or your 20th reunion. They are exactly. You want to
punch her in the face.
My boyfriend's going to be so mad at you.
Yeah.
I like how Willow
is completely codependent. Totally codependent and like not two brain cells to rub together.
Yeah. Now, one thing you should know, Stephen, is that more of her story is explored in Angel. She becomes the main character in Angel.
Whatever happened to that?
To what? Oh.
Whatever happened to her? Because wasn't she, I remember, I believe she was in the Addams Family movies.
Yes, she was.
She was
the girl's component.
Yep. She was the one that was drowning and Wednesday Addams was like, I don't know how to
put them. She was also the Girl Scout that she says.
The Girl Scout, yeah.
Yeah.
Are they made of real Girl Scouts?
Yeah. Is your lemonade made of real lemons? And would you like to buy some Girl Scout cookies? I don't know. Are they made with real Girl Scouts?
Oh.
Best.
Like Christina Ricci. Can we just praise her for a moment?
All day, every day. She
would have been great on Buffy.
A reference in season 6 with the trio. Andrew is mad at Warren because Warren won't build him a Christina Ricci robot.
Robot, yeah.
Oh, that's right. Oh.
So season 2, of course, you get a little bit more budget and a little bit more of a comprehensive story. Like,
yeah.
You could tell that season 1 was literally like, let's just establish what's going on.
Exactly.
It was literally like the epitome of a pilot season.
Yes. Yeah. And so season 2 was, okay, now we've got to give the audience an actual story. We're establishing this love story with Buffy and Angel. How can we destroy that? Oh, let's make him evil.
That sucks. Weird.
Yeah.
How's that for a message to teenagers?
But that's my thing. Watching it as an adult, I'm like, literally the age difference is so bad.
Right.
Even if he was 20, she's still...
I even think about it weird because David Boreanaz was 28 and she was 18 when they were playing. I know.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, they were 10 years apart in age.
That's super awkward.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And so I was thinking about that. I'm like, oh my God, the age difference between these actors as it is, but then the characters have like a 200 year.
Yeah.
And he's kind of already like, he's already been like spying on her. Like when we find out the backstory a little more, like he's already like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that relationship.
Yep.
I really enjoy her and Spike's relationship.
But I mean, like, it's like even in Becoming, they kind of explain to how he gets involved into her life.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but so that still doesn't, I mean,
it doesn't make it right. I'm just, yeah.
As wholesome as it might sound, he's still a creep.
Yeah.
And he's only, yeah, I don't know. I have a lot of mixed feelings about that whole saga, like the evil, you know, Angelus versus Angel. And
yeah,
I prefer him evil, honestly.
I kind of think he's sexier, but I don't mind brooding because like it's like, come here, baby.
Well, yeah. Oh, you should come here, baby.
Yeah.
You should come right here.
Yeah.
I was Team Spike most of the way.
I can't
100%. So
like, yeah. Everybody, especially the last his am. Final
yeah
moments. I was like,
oh yeah.
So yeah.
And
so,
see, and I didn't care for season 7. Like it was not.
You and I have talked about season 7 felt like it was kind of just like a push season. Like,
yeah.
They had a contract.
Like, yeah, it's just like we have to end it somewhere.
Some way.
You know,
yeah.
We got to end it. So we're just going to implode
everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything.
just so you know, Joss Whedon is in talks about bringing back.
I don't want to talk about it.
No, it's they'll bring all the cast back for a new series with showing more Slayers still. They'll bring more Slayers, but
as long as if they did it like Fuller House style, I'm good with that.
Yeah,
but like where it's if just they do it like the new Charm style where it's completely
quick thing to the remake of Charmed, I do appreciate it. I do understand the divide between it though, because
I haven't given it a chance because the original Charm is so iconic.
You know what? And I respect your decision on that. I did give it a shot because I wanted to just be like, you know what? I'll see what's up.
I might give it a shot.
I think it's a great story, but I wish that they could have just been like, why can't you find a way for the original Charmed ones
to
like passing it on to a new form?
If it was that story, I would have been already watched it.
Like, I'm okay if you bring back people for me to finish the stories some more. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
I'm just so sick of reboot. Yeah.
Like, but get over it.
Pass the torch.
Yes.
Right.
Like, I'm okay if you
find the original ideas.
If you find a way to hand off a story arc, and even if Buffy is in there a little less, or some other characters are in there less, like I don't care if you put in Dawn. I mean, sorry, I don't like. You don't have to bring her back. Giles, I love Giles, but
depending on the story arc, he'd be dead. He was already old.
Yeah, probably.
Depending on where they pick up. Let me rephrase this. Depending on where they
still
pick up.
Pretty well.
Well, no, I don't. He's so dreamy. I love him.
Anyway, so season two ends very tragically with Becoming and Buffy having to kill the one true lover.
Her lover, yeah.
To save the world. And so and this is also where Mother has found out that she's a Slayer, and Mother does not appreciate it. Mother actually feels the same way that like some very conservative Christian parents feel about their children coming out gay, in the sense, you know, and they really established that in that part where it was like, this is why all of us gay boys were like attached to Buffy, because like,
there's something. She's like, different. She's
something weird. I can't really change about myself.
Exactly.
You're telling me that if I continue to.
Oh, that's where y'all get your attitude from.
Mm-hmm.
You're all the chosen ones.
We're the chosen ones.
We are the chosen ones. We're just a whole bunch of goddamn.
Oh my god.
Yeah. And the sassiness too, and because I will say that's one of the quotes that I put down from the season two finale when Angel's like, no weapons, no friends, no hope, take that all away, and what's left? And then Buffy catches the sword, she's like, me! Yes. And I'm like, all right!
That's an empowering part, right?
Oh, there. Yeah.
That was another one of those parts where it's like, yes, queen! Like,
exactly.
If I would have been sassy gay boy back then, that was eighth grade. I mean, I was barely even a boy.
Yeah.
But it was still, she just, what are you, stripped of all your everything? And she's like, no, I got this.
Like, nah, bitch.
Yeah. And because it was in that moment that she realized that he was gone.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if he wasn't going to get the soul back, even though they were hoping, she had to end him because the sword was out. Like, the ritual had begun. She had to end him because, in the same context of Dawn being the key in season five, only Angel's blood ending was going to end this monster from doing it.
Yeah.
A little bit of originality conflict there, but you know, different concepts. Things that Buffy is like attached to, she has to kill. And the first time she kills him, she can't do it again. So in season five, she just like offs herself instead. She's like, not again. I'm doing it myself this time.
I'm going to die for the true
sacrifice. That was a beautiful sacrifice. Beautiful sacrifice.
Those selfish
assholes had to ruin it in season six.
Bring her back from heaven. Like,
yeah.
Oh, hey, we knew you were in hell. Yeah, that's where I was.
Right.
And that's what brought the story. Just get a beautiful musical.
Oh my god, when Spike sees her fingers, it just like, oh my god, my heart. Just even still, he's like, no, I know what this is.
I know what happened here.
He brought her back and she had to dig her way out. Like, I don't know. Gives me chills.
Oh yeah.
Well, they wanted that for the dramatic effect of the show. They wanted her crawling.
Well, obviously. I mean,
But they, of course, have to add that conflict of the fact that Willow's already guilty and about this whole thing.
Yeah.
And then there's okay, so season three, we see Buffy left Sunnydale at the end of season mm-hmm. two very dramatically.
And she runs away and becomes Anne.
Becomes yep. Anne in LA, which that's what kind of set the tone for what Angel was gonna be. That was kind of their way of setting up the LA story. So like we said, because Angel was gonna be going there after season three was over. Because they even set up that the girl that she helped in that first episode that took her name later, Anne. She was calling herself mm-hmm. Lily, I think, in that mm-hmm. one, and
Well, before that, she was in that like weird vampire obsessed cult.
She called herself Chanterelle.
yes, that was it.
Mushroom.
Yes.
But she, so that girl took the name Anne after that episode, and we see her return a few times in Angel. So,
yes.
Yeah, she's very established in there. And
they did really well with the crossovers until they went their separate ways. Mm-hmm. I thought the crossover episodes were done really well. Yes. And if you do watch Angel, like some of the season four stuff makes a little more sense.
Because
isn't it season one and season four? Yeah.
And remember, I got to watch them while they were alive. So like if there was a crossover episode, it was advertised as Buffy and then Angel. And like they went hand in hand through the Tuesday night. Like it was like a 2-hour runoff.
Yeah.
Like, Angel come to Buffy.
It was an event.
Yeah. And it was big deal. It was such a big deal. It was like, oh, we're going to see him on both shows. What?
Right.
It was beautiful.
Oh, so Buffy was actually on Angel for an episode?
Oh, yeah, there were a few times. Well,
do you remember when Faith
came back in season four when she woke up out of the coma and then she leaves after the whole body switch?
Yeah.
So she ends up in LA to kill Angel. Yeah, and she gets hired by the villain of Angel's story season one of Angel.
That was season one.
Yep. And so, because it was season four of Buffy, season one of Angel. And yeah, so she was in LA trying to kill Angel. And then Angel ends up helping her a little bit and kind of making her realize her humanity.
Rehabilitating her, basically.
So she goes to prison.
Doing Angel, doing what Angel does.
We see Faith come back out of prison season four of Angel when there's a big thing happening and they need a slayer, so they get her out, and that's season seven of Buffy. So that's how Faith ends up back with Buffy at the end of the series, and Willow brings her back.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah, so you'll have like
clearly I need to watch it. You don't have to watch it.
I know.
Yeah, no, it's really good. It is really good.
Yeah. So you get to see
how Faith gets. How about the body switch episode?
That was
awesome.
I mean, it was brilliant. It was a great way so that both got to see each other's perspective. Mm-hmm. They got to see what was going on there, and
Faith got to know what love was.
Yeah, and so it was very interesting.
And friendship and
And so you didn't know, and like you could see when Faith left after, she was like, she doesn't want to hurt Buffy anymore. Now she's more concerned. That's why she ends up in LA, and she's so conflicted, and she wants Angel to kill her. So she's trying to angst him.
And she's beating herself against the ground.
Yeah.
It's
very powerful.
So many emotions. So many emotions. I still can't watch. So that's season four. I don't know. I'm getting ahead of myself. I was going to talk about season five.
Of what?
When Joyce dies.
Okay. No, season four is, season five is when Joyce dies.
No, I know that. I was jumping ahead because we're still on season four.
So we're kind of at season three where we got introduced to Faith and the dark side of it all and how Faith kills a human. Turns her kind of like dark and stuff, and she realizes that she's not gonna be Buffy in the group. She wants to be as cool, like she's a Slayer. She just wants to fit in, but she's now isolated herself even more, and stuff. And so she goes.
She just gives up on herself, and then craves that. It's like just that daddy issue thing, with the mayor. Like,
Did you ever read the book Go Ask Malice?
No.
Okay. Well, we talked about it before years ago. I don't even know if you remember this conversation, but I read a book. It was a Buffy book, and it was called Go Ask Malice. And you said, is that kind of sound like Go Ask Alice, which is a book you've read, and it's a popular book.
Yes. But this
was a book that was written in the Buffy universe. It was called Go Ask Malice, and it was Faith's origin.
And it was, I need to read that.
Oh, if I can find it, I'll get it for you.
Okay.
It was really interesting to hear that, read that perspective of Faith's origin, because she of course came from trailer tracks or the trailer court kind of upbringing, and very
white trash. Mm-hmm. Let's just put it out there. Very white trash.
Yeah.
Abusive.
For lack of a better term. So that was, and that was kind of seen in who she was, So that was, I think if there was anything that I liked the most about season three was Faith. Mayor Wilkins was kind of like, okay, cool. You're funny. You're weird. And you're an antagonist, which that season was, the season finale got pushed back a lot when it was first to be aired in 1999, because